here for the 24th straight year. It's amazing that Brother Bill had put up with a preacher that many years. But thank you, preacher, so much. Not just ministering to me, but my family. My daughter Rachel and, of course, Brian are here, and she's in the hospital. There was a time last week that our family had three folks in the hospital at the same time. My mother had pneumonia. My father was in a facility that he left to go be with the Lord from. And then my daughter, who's been in the hospital. But before I preach, I want to invite you to come back tonight. I still believe Sunday night's the most important service in a short meeting. I'm preaching tonight on this subject, don't wait too late. Don't wait too late. So first of all, don't wait too late to come to church. All right? You be in the house of God tonight. Brother Bill, I just want to pray. I'm just overwhelmed. And I'm about to do something crazy, man. Crazy. That I have no idea why I'm doing it. But I need to pray. God, I need you to just calm me and just let me be sure that this is what you desire for my life today. I thank you for what you did in the first service. I thank you, God, for the way you moved and blessed. And God, I confess before these people, I'm trembling now, but I want to honor you and I want to obey you. So God, may my words be yours and my thoughts be yours. And God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. A week ago today, at 11:45, my father went to be with the Lord. You don't know my father. Some of you don't know me. So when I just, Brother Bill, I'm not going to preach what I did in the early service. I just feel like God wants me to tell you what I said at my daddy's funeral. And I don't know why. I don't know why. I only preached 20 minutes, so be encouraged. I've been preaching for 45 years, and I've been an evangelist 29, and I have never been as frightened as I am right now because I want to honor the Lord. This is not a funeral service, and you didn't know my father. I just have this overwhelming burden that I need to do this. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because Bill said that Dad was at the Father's feet knowing what's going on. I believe that. I believe we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. But I believe with all my being, and I'll get a grip here in a minute, that this is my dad's last sermon. And I just believe he wants me to preach at 11:45 last week. I was preaching. I was in the pulpit. My daddy was in the ministry over 60 years, pastored 5 churches. So today I need to be real careful because you don't know him, that I'm not bragging on my father, I'm bragging on my father, but I'm not lifting up my father. I'm lifting up the Lord. But I want to just talk about his life, and maybe God will use it for somebody here today. And so I'm going to preach my father's funeral message. This is nuts. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 says this, and I'll just finish when I finish here. Matthew 11:11, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you," just remain seated, read this. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." About a year or so ago, Brother Bill, it was in January, I was in a hotel somewhere, which is where I spend my life, in hotels. And God awakened me early in the morning, very, very early that morning. And my dad was on my mind. Dad was not in a nursing facility yet. My dad was struggling and had neuropathy and things and was very ill. But I just had this overwhelming burden that Dad was gonna die that night. I just felt like Dad was leaving the earth that night. And so I expected the phone to ring. Matter of fact, I thought if it wasn't 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd make a phone call myself. But the phone never did ring. Dad wasn't dying that night. But I know why God awakened me, Pastor, that night. The Lord awakened me and gave me what he wanted me to say at my daddy's service a year later. It was so real to me that I wrote it down and I shared it this past Thursday afternoon, and there was close to 1,000 people there that day, and my dad impacted so many lives. And God gave me this verse of scripture. It's an unusual verse, isn't it? The Bible says here that John the Baptist, Jesus said this, is the greatest born among women. Jesus later verified that by saying the greatest preacher among women. The greatest. That's an amazing statement. And I know why he called John the Baptist greater. I know that. I've done the research. John the Baptist was greater because, number one, he was unique in history. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. Nobody else did that. So he was the greater for that reason. Then Luke, in his gospel, called John the Baptist a man who preached with the power of Elijah. And anybody preached with the power of Elijah is great. Elijah called down fire from heaven. Elijah was a thundering preacher of the gospel. Then the third reason John the Baptist was called great is because John broke the 430 years of silence at the end of Malachi before the coming of the Messiah, before the baby Jesus was born in the manger. There was silence, 430 years. And so John broke that. So John was called greater. But God gave me this to share at my daddy's service last week. Daddy was a preacher. And not John the Baptist, I told everybody, but he was Bob the Baptist. And his name affectionately was Brother Bob. My daddy, to me, was the greatest man I've ever known. The greatest. And I didn't do this at his funeral. I was composed. But I'm doing this today. So you hang on. And I'm just bragging on Jesus, but the reason I'm preaching this, I think, Brother Bill, is because God wants somebody here to touch a life today. And I think about how many lives my dad touched. And I'm going to tell you three reasons I believe my dad was great. And somebody here can, I believe, benefit from this. And again, you pray for me because I'm really trembling here. I believe I'm honoring the Lord, but I really want to do this because God wants me to. When I was a boy, I had three pictures in my wallet: Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, and my dad, because he impacted me my whole life. And I want to tell you three reasons why my dad was great. Number one, if somebody needs to hear this, my dad was a great parent. He was a great parent. Psalm 128, verse 6 says, "A man that walks with God and fears the Lord will see his children's children serving God." That means that a man that walks with God, I'm not talking about a preacher, just any man, daddy, Any man that walks with God will see his grandchildren serving Jesus. Last Sunday morning, it was 11:45, I said I was preaching my first sermon of the year in my home church for our one-day revival in North Jacksonville. So I was preaching when God called my father home. My brother was by his side there in that nursing facility when Dad left to go home. Well, I found out at lunch, I was with Judy, and we found out at lunch, and my brother left word, call ASAP, and so I knew something was wrong. So I called. Well, we did this, bless my soul now. And again, I'm bragging on the Lord. We couldn't, Brother Bill, we couldn't call. We couldn't put it on social media yet. You know, social media, it's just everybody knows everybody's business about everything in their life. And we couldn't put it on social media because all the grandchildren had not been told. My father had 15 grandchildren, two of which are in this church, and 13 great-grandchildren, and two more will be here in March, one of which is in this church. And so we couldn't put it on social media, Brother Bill. We couldn't tell everybody. My pastor wanted to tweet it out. We couldn't do all that yet because all the grandkids had not been told, and this blew my mind. They didn't have to go far to look for the grandkids. I want to tell everybody something. All the grandchildren and great-grandchildren last Sunday were in church. Do you know what I said? They were all in church. I mean, all of them. I mean, they couldn't tell the children yet because they were in church being deacons and Sunday school teachers and choir members. And I'm the preacher. And the only reason my two brothers weren't preaching is because they were by dad's side. My son's a preacher, and his son-in-law in this church is a preacher. So they had to wait. We had to wait till church was over. I immediately called Rachel, who's in that hospital bed. I called her, and of course, the oldest granddaughter, of course, very close to her grandfather. I consoled her. But I want to say that one more time. All the children and grandchildren were in church. They weren't drinking off. They weren't sleeping off a drunk. They weren't in jail. They didn't have to look for them in a juvenile home. They didn't have to search for them out away somewhere. Oh, we got to track them down. They were all in church. What an amazing statement to know that you can see your grandchildren serving the Lord. Someone tell everybody, you may never preach a message. You may never stand where your pastor stands every Sunday. You may never sing like Brent. You may never be up in front of a Sunday school class. But can I tell you something? If you raise your children to impact their children, you're great. You understand me? The Bible says you can see your grandchildren serving Jesus. So my daddy believed that. Parents, my daddy believed with all of his heart the proclamation of parenthood. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He believed in the promise of parenthood. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. He believed in the power of parenthood. Ephesians 6:4, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I'm talking to parents right now because you may not be a preacher, but you're a parent. My daddy believed the whole book on parenthood. That means he believed it all. Proverbs 10:13, a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Well, my daddy believed that. I told my brothers, Brent, the other day, all six of them were on the front row. There's five. There's six counting me. So all five of them were on the front row, my two preacher brothers and my three sisters. And they all agreed with me, Brother Bill, that I'm number one. Oh, I'm the oldest, but not number one favorite. I got more whippings than all my brothers and sisters put together, preacher. I mean, all of them. I really believe there was a belt in the closet with my name on it. Did anybody have a belt, parent? My daddy used a belt. He didn't use a belt here or here. He used it here. A rod is for the back of him that's void of understanding. And then when I got to be 16 and learned to drive, daddy started restricting me. He didn't spank me, restricted me. My dad held my car keys as much as he held his. And you know what, guys? I was called to preach. I was saved, called to preach. I was a preacher. So I wasn't out rambling around. I wasn't running around, but I had to have that last hamburger or cruise through the Steak and Shake again. You know, that was cool in my generation, in that hot 61 Oldsmobile, cruise through the Steak and Shake. And boy, daddy would be sitting on the porch with his hands out when I'd get home. I had a curfew the night before I got married. And I still wonder if I'd come home late, what would dad have done, cancel the wedding? I'm not sure. But aren't you glad you had a parent that had parameters? In this generation where it's not, everybody wants to be politically correct. And I recently talked to a young mother and said, I hate to tell my children no. It's all right to say no. It's all right to be bold, even when they don't like it. Because when I was 13, 14, I thought my dad was nuts. But I'm glad that my dad was not my friend. He was my father. He was not my chum or my buddy. He was my dad. My dad was a great parent. And I'm challenging. Maybe I'm preaching this or talking or whatever I'm doing here. I don't know. Really, I'm stunned by this. Maybe I'm telling somebody this today because God's challenging you to be a great parent. But maybe you've reached a place in your life where you think what I do don't make a difference or nobody's listening or it's... none of the other parents are doing it. God still needs great parents. When I was 14 years old, the most impacting event of my childhood, my brother Ron, 2 years my junior, broke his leg. He was 12. It was behind the pastorium, Brother Bill, at our house, and my brother fell from an oak tree and fell 25 feet onto a hard, windswept ground and broke his leg. Broke it, the bone stuck through the the flesh. He broke it in multiple places. Now, this is the 60s. I watched my parents go through a year of just agony, a surgery, a place in the bone, and then surgery. And then they had infection. And I remember Ron was in a body cast from here down. And I remember had that bar between the knees, and Daddy would pick him up and carry him to the couch every day. And I watched my parents. Dad didn't make much money, pastored a small church. And I watched my dad and mom go through agony. Our church had gospel sings, sponsored gospel sings to raise money for that incredible hospital bill back in those days. And then, preacher, I remember it was Ron broke it in November, and it was June of that year, Brother Bill, and it was vacation Bible school. And Ron was up on my, he was 12, he was up on crutches and walking behind the church, and it had rained. A Florida thunderstorm had come in, it had rained, and Ron, with those rubber tip crutches, slipped in some water and fell and rebroke the whole thing. And I remember my dad. This is one of the impacting events of my childhood. Because I was 14, you know, and I was cool and starting to have that little attitude of rebellion. It was the generation, if you're a student or a college student, where they had questioned God. John Lennon of the Beatles had said, "We're more popular than Jesus Christ." And the God in Dead movement, the God is Dead movement, was in full swing. And so I wasn't at that place. I was just a little rebellious. You know, "Dad, why do we go to church every Sunday? Why do we do this? Why?" You know. And Brother Bill, when Ron rebroke that leg, I was angry at the Lord. And I remember the next morning was Saturday morning, and my father was out washing his car, but he really wasn't washing it. He just kind of had the sponge up against the car. And I walked up, Daddy was washing that car, and or the sponge up against it. And Brother Bill, I was going to let him have it. I was going to say, "Dad, what about this God you preach about every Sunday? What about this God we pray to every Sunday? What about this God that we sing about? Every Sunday we give our lives to this God." And I was really going to let my dad have it. Why did God let this happen? Brother Bill, when I got there, I never addressed my dad. I just came to his back. My dad's sponge was up against the car, and he was weeping, but he was praying. And I heard my dad say these words. I don't remember all the words he said, but I remember these words: "God, I trust you. I trust you." He just kept saying that. "I don't know why this happened, but I trust you." And I'm telling you, preacher, I never said a word to my dad. I walked away, but I want you to know, that was one of the stealing events of my childhood. I believe I'm standing here today because of that event. Because I'm telling you, preacher, when I turned, I thought, man, what my dad, this is real, man. What my dad's got's real. I mean, this is real. This is worth standing on. It's worth sinking your teeth into. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today in these few moments, but you may be here and you may be lost without our Christ. And you may be wondering why we're doing what we're doing today. Can I tell you, this is real. Our God is real. Brent and this team and this choir has sung to a God that's real today. And he's not just real in the good times, he's real in the bad times. And it's steeled my childhood. So I don't know, my dad was a great parent. This may not apply to anybody in this building, but Brother Bill and some of our preachers, but I want to encourage you. And again, I'm not going to be very long. My dad, second of all, was a great pastor. He was a great parent, but he was a great pastor. It occurs to me about my dad that everything in his life ministered to people, whether it was the family or the church. And I'm not preaching to anybody here today that had my daddy as a pastor. He pastored nobody. I doubt, unless Brian has slipped back in, he was never Brian's pastor. He pastored nobody in this building. But my whole life, my daddy was affectionate on his Brother Bob. And I'm going to tell you something else. My dad never pastored a big church until the end of his life. End of his life, he pastored a church that probably ran 400. But all of his life, he pastored little churches. And not big, he pastored five churches. Was director of missions in Georgia over a bunch of pastors. Then he was on our church staff. But here's what I learned about my dad. I had the unique position of being involved in my dad's pastorate twice. First time I was on his staff, right after Bible college, my first position, right after Judy and I got married. My first position in college, after college, was student minister. You ought to try that on for size. Let your dad be your pastor, your father, and your boss. You ought to try that. My dad was, and preacher, for the first time, I'd been raised in his home. But for the first time, I want you to hear this. For the very first time in my life, I heard my dad's love for his congregation. See, you got a pastor sitting right here on the front row. You do know what a pastor is, don't you? Number one, a pastor, you could say, is an architect who helps design blueprint for living. Now, number two, a pastor is a carpenter, tells you how to build a strong life. A pastor is a doctor who gives spiritual advice to your family. A pastor is a teacher who week in and week out opens the Word of God and teaches you. But can I tell you what most of all describes, you know what describes Bill Hilly? Can I tell you what most of all describes a pastor? He's a shepherd. My father was a shepherd, holding hands with folks at hospitals, standing over them at funerals, marrying their children. You do know that's not a job. And I don't boast about me. I'm an evangelist. But a pastor, according to Ephesians 4:11, is a gift to the New Testament church. How many know at Grace Baptist Church, you've got a gift sitting here on the front row? Did you know that? I'm talking about a shepherd. I read this at Daddy's service, Brother Bill, and I want to read it to encourage you. And you know the passage. I'm not prepared here. I haven't turned to it. Listen, my mind's blown by all this, all right? By the way, I'm doing what God wanted me to do. This is what God wants. 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to encourage you, Brother Bill. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Here's what he says. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint or a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Then listen to this. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. That's the pastor's crown. That's the shepherd's crown. That's the crown of glory. Listen, when Dad died last week, I got a lot of calls from a lot of pastors around the country. Your pastor called me within an hour after my father's death, or an hour and a half. But Sunday night, preacher, I had a pastor friend call me and he said, Rick, I believe in the cloud of witnesses. That although folks in heaven right now may not look in on what's going on the earth, and I don't believe they need to, and I don't believe they should, they're in the presence of Jesus. But the cloud of witnesses are those around us, those who've gone before us, who cheer on those saints of God that are ministering in the church, watching today. And you know, a pastor friend of mine said, just think about it, Rick. After your father went to heaven, he was in the cloud of witnesses, cheering you on as you preached. And you know, two people got saved that morning, last Sunday morning. And I don't know how they introduce them in heaven. I don't know what they do. I don't know how they welcome them. But I guarantee you, my dad knew that two people got saved because the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over just one sinner that repents. And say, Rick, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, folks, if the cloud of witnesses are cheering on the man of God while he speaks, you ought to be doing the same thing every week. Never take for granted your pastor standing here pouring his life out week after week. Cheer him on. Encourage him in the faith. Brother Bill, I encourage you today. Because I'm telling you, my dad was a great pastor. I told you I wasn't going to be long. My dad's a great parent. My dad was a great pastor. Let me wrap this up because I'm so convinced somebody in this building needs this today. My dad's in a great place. Number three, he's in a great place. Somebody came to church to hear this morning, but you didn't know it till right now. 2 Corinthians 5:8. I don't know which one it is. Let me check. I told you, buddy, this is off the cuff, man. I think it's second. Tell me, Bill. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Second, isn't it? I'm stammering here. It is. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Watch me now. That word absent means to be vacant. Brent, your dad's vacant today. He went to be with the Lord this year. He's vacant. I say, Rick, what are you trying to say? He's not here. He's absent. You understand? I told the family Thursday afternoon, my dad was absent. First time my dad was ever absent at Christmas was this year. He couldn't be with the family. My dad loved Christmas. He was absent. Not there. First time not there. I told him, we had a body right there at the funeral, but my dad was not there. His legacy was there. His memory was there. His spiritual evidence was there, but my dad was not there because he was absent. So Paul said, if you're absent, if you're not here, you got to be there. You got to be one place. Everybody that has left this earth that's not here is there. Where is there? Wherever they are, one of two places. Because Paul said, absent from the body is to be present. And that word present, are you listening, saint? Means to be at home. No, don't you understand? Children of God that are in heaven are not waiting to go home. They're home. So absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And here's what happened to my dad. I know Brent's dad was suffered. Some of you had loved ones suffer at the end. So did my dad. You know how my dad spent the last 5 months of his life? The last 5 months. The last 2 years of his life were incapacitated, but the last 5 months especially. He was in that nursing facility because my dear mother, down to 100 pounds, couldn't hardly take care of him anymore. I mean, it was round-the-clock care. This was my daddy's day. This was his day. My dad, this is the hope of the church. Wake up in the morning, laying flat on his back at that Central Park, was the name of the facility there in Brandon, Florida. My dad wake up flat on his back. Somebody have to take care of him, minister some food to him and whatever they need to do, give him his meds or whatever. And then they would take my father and strap him to a wheelchair. He had to be strapped in. And the reason he was strapped in because he would fall out. And there was a little beeper, a little buzzer there. Daddy fell out to alert the nursing staff that he had fallen out. That was his existence every single day, Brother Bill, every day. They would take that chair because they didn't want those patients staying in the rooms. And they would take Dad down the hall and he would be, you know, because of where I live and because of my occupation, vocation, I didn't see Dad, you know, but every 3 or 4 months. Not like my brothers and sisters that live down there. But everybody that'd go see him, there he'd be. You'd walk down a hallway and there he'd be. He'd be in a wheelchair up against the wall just with a blank stare on his face. Because my dad could not communicate. Can you imagine somebody that used his mouth for a living like that, that communicated all those years? He couldn't communicate. He couldn't talk. He would just blankly stare at you. That was his day. And then in the evening, they would take him down to the dining hall and he'd sit there at the dining hall and he'd eat, back to the bed, same thing. That was his daily existence. And I say with joy to anybody that's had a loved one suffer like that, if they're in the Lord, can I tell you what my dad's doing today? He's not strapped in no wheelchair. He's not laying in some bed. He's not blankly staring at somebody hoping that he'll say some word. He's not doing that. They don't have to wheel him to the dining hall. He's at the table, man. Walking the streets of gold. You know the last words my mama said to my daddy last Saturday night? Not knowing that he would go home Sunday morning. And by the way, Sunday morning, Judy's here at our breakfast table. My daughter Jessica was there because I was preaching that Sunday. And I told my daughter, my wife, I said, boy, I would love to see God take Dad today. I said, why would you pray something like that? Because this world is not our home. We're not designed to live here forever. You know, Dad, God, how many know how good our God is? Can I get a witness? God took him that day, ladies and gentlemen. That day, God took my father that day. Not bound to a wheelchair, not bound to a bed. In the presence of the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, that's our hope. I mean, heaven's not some just not some fantasy out there somewhere. It's real, man. Well, the saints of the ages now have gathered around the throne of God in absolute, utter perfection, praising the name of the Lord. But see, the greatest thing about my daddy was this. My daddy loved to talk. Oh, yeah. He preached for a living. Preachers love to talk. But beyond that, man, he loved to talk, laugh. My daddy would fill a room with laughter because he couldn't talk, Bill. The last 5 months of daddy's life, daddy couldn't talk. He couldn't talk. He'd say the word good once in a while. He'd nod his head once in a while, but couldn't talk. But Judy and I went to see him at Christmas. We went down there for Christmas, and the family told me not to get Dad a Christmas present. Because, why? One of them said, and I'm not belittling, one of them said, Rick, he won't understand. But I tell you, brother, God just wanted me to get him a Christmas present. Do you know when we got him? I tell you, went to Walmart. Got him just an old shirt to sit around in, old pants, because that's all he did, just workout pants. I just wanted to give my daddy something. And Brother Bill, here's what happened. Carried that to Daddy in that bag, read him the card. It was just Judy and I. We were the only ones out there on the porch. And I read the card to Daddy. And then I took the clothes out of the bag and handed it to him. He had not spoken what they said since September, Jude. My dad looked at me and said, thank you. And that's the last words I ever heard my dad say. And you know why that's important, Brother Bill? It's important to me because the last words I ever heard my daddy say is the first words he'll hear me say when I see him in heaven one day. I will say, thank you. Thank you for raising me in a Christian home. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for living Jesus in front of me. Y'all know what I'm trying to say? My daddy touched lives. Yeah, you say he was a preacher, but beyond the pulpit, he touched lives. Everybody in this building has the ability to touch lives. And I'm going to challenge you to do that. I trembled as I came up here. I didn't know why God wanted me to share this. I just believe there's somebody here right now that's kind of spinning their wheels, that you need to know that God has saved you for a reason to touch somebody's life. Would you bow with me all over the building, every head bowed, every eye closed? Could I invite you to stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Here's what we're going to do, Brent. Before you play, before there's any singing, Brother Bill, you come on to the front. I tell you, I really believe that I've honored the Lord today and honored my Father. I really believe God would have me say this today. Here's who the invitation's for. I'm inviting parents today, mom and dad, to pray over your children. They're not in this building, maybe they're in Sunday school or somewhere else, but I'd like to invite couples to come to this altar, join hands together and pray that God give you the power to be a great parent in God. Would you do that? Some of you are facing decisions in your home. All over this building, I'm going to invite parents to lay something before the Lord of the altar. Bill, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, brother. I'm not. I had no idea I was going to do any of this. I want somebody to come pray for our preacher in a minute. Come pray for our pastor. Come be encouraged in the Lord by praying for Brother Bill. What a great pastor. I'm going to invite you to do that. But I really believe God wanted me to share about my Father because somebody here is not ready for heaven. If you were to die right now, you're not ready to meet the Lord. You're going to be absent from this body, but you're going to die without God and go to hell. Can I tell you, you don't have to go. You can be saved this morning. I'm going to invite you to walk down this aisle. A minute, come to this pastor, one of our staff members, and say, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. And while all that's going on, would somebody find their way to an altar and pray that God use you to touch a life this week in revival? Somebody you can invite, somebody you can minister to, somebody that you can leave a legacy with that will last forever. Folks, I know that it's unusual what I've done here this morning. Believe me, nobody's more surprised than me. But I just believe life is brief. And God's reminded me of that this week in choir. You've so ministered to me with that song this morning, sat and wept. God is our shield. Somebody here needs to kneel at His presence today and give something to the Lord. Father, thank you for allowing me to do this. God, Lord, I offer no apology. I believe you wanted me to share what I shared last Thursday afternoon. And God, I pray for some parent here right now that's struggling. Some parent that thinks it's not worth it. Some parent that life's kind of beating them to death. God, I pray they'd renew themselves before you and become a parent that goes by the book, by the word of God. Then, Father, I pray for not only our preacher, Brother Bill, every other pastor that may be here. God, we just encourage our pastors today to keep on keeping on, Father. And then, God, I pray for folks today that'll make renewals to touch a life this week. God, I know there's people in this building that have gotten busy as the year started and think what they do doesn't make a difference at work or at school. God, would you use us to touch lives this week to bring Holy Ghost revival, God? God, would you move in this place? And God, if there's somebody here lost without our Christ, God, would you save them today? And I pray this prayer right now, believing in Jesus' name, I pray. With every head bowed, every eye closed, just the music is playing. As the music begins to play, I didn't say this. What a great day to join this church. God told you to move your letter and go to work here. Do it today. Obedience brings revival. While that's going on, I'm going to invite parents, just parents, to lay something before the Lord at this altar. You want to pray together? I'm going to invite you to come. Come on, mom and dad. Let's just seek the Lord. Let's turn our homes in this week over to the Lord. And while you're doing that, does anybody here need to come and just say, you know, I want to touch a life. I'm not a preacher, but I want my life to touch a life this week. I want you to lay that before the Lord at this altar. As God's moving all across this building, Brother Bill standing here, I want some of our men just come pray with him. Brother Bill, I just want to do that today. And while you pray with our preacher men and others continue to come from all across the building, does anybody need to get saved today? Anybody need our Christ today? Singing is going to begin right now. As the singing begins right now, I'll invite you to come. Many others are coming. What a beautiful sight this is today. Who else would come right now? Come on, right now. Somebody else, come on right now. Pastor's free. Anybody else need to come? Step out right now. Just as God moves in this service, come on. Just come on right now. Who else would take a step right now? Say, I'm coming right now. We're talking about a life that makes a difference. Let me ask you, do you feel like your life's making a difference right now? First way it makes a difference, it'll make no difference until Jesus becomes your Lord. Once you get saved, your life will make a difference to touch another life. Anybody else? Say, I'm coming right now. Anybody else? A lot of freedom in the service. Don't miss what God wants to do in your life. Maybe someone wants to pray for their family today. Come on right now, would you? I'm going to ask a question I already know the answer to as you look this way. Everybody look this way. I already know the answer to this question. But I'm going to ask it anyway. How many have a loved one in heaven waiting for you that made a difference in your life to Jesus? Put your hands up. Anybody? Thank God. Thank God for their legacy. Thank God for what they did. And here's the thing. You're still here for a reason. God called my father home last Sunday morning. His race was run. And it was done with... We laid the Bible in the casket, and my mother knew the verse she wanted it open to. I told Brian this morning she wanted it open to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It was right under Dad's hand. 2 Timothy 4 says, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And see, everybody that's in this building just now that raised your hand, your course is not run. Your race is not finished. It's not over. God's got an appointment for every life here for a reason. I'm going to challenge you to touch a life this week for the Lord. Brother Brent, let's sing that again. I want every voice to sing it with you. Still some ministry going on. I'm going to turn over to the men of God in just a moment. Let's sing it right now. Every voice, let's sing it.